Well, good morning, everyone. We're glad that you're here. We're so many young people here today because today's Family Worship Sunday, and so we've invited all of them to come and sit with you. So anybody here who's under 20, would you stand up? We just want to see how many people are in our church under 20 years old. Come on, stand up. I know, over there. Come on, don't be shy. Look, get them up. Yes, absolutely. We're so glad you're here. You can be seated. I might ask you to do something crazy later on, okay? But we're so glad you're here. There's so many churches these days where the 20-year-olds, 15-year-olds aren't there. So we're so glad for Shelter Rock Church. So glad for all the things that are going on in the youth program and the children's program. And so glad for your parents bringing you and letting you be a part of all this. You know, this is really a great thing. And you have a job today. I want you to keep your eye on your parents, okay? If they start dozing off, just give them the old, come on, Dad, come on, let's pay attention. If they pick up their phone and start texting or looking at, you know, the scores from yesterday, no. Just kind of get on their case and kind of say, pay attention, this is going to be important, okay? Because this morning we're talking about love. We're talking about this whole idea of love in our relationships, that if we really let God into our life, His Holy Spirit comes, and what He really produces in us is this love that comes from Him, that we can begin to experience the love, not just receive it, but give it to other people. So we've been looking at all these different relationships, and here today we talk about our parents and our children, and we're going to talk about the love, because if the love doesn't work in our house, what good is it? So today we're going to look at a very controversial passage of Scripture. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. It's the first three verses, chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, and you can find it if you want to follow along in the Bible. It's page 1177, and we're going to get two strong reactions, I'm sure, because here's what it says. Take it there, and why don't you read it with me off the screen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Boy, I can tell by the way you read it that you got some different reactions. I mean, the first reaction is the parents, of course, are very excited about this. You know, I see so many parents smiling right now, just like, yes, now this is something that should be preached about. Yes, children, obey your parents. And if we could get a photo of this, I'd like to put it right on our refrigerator. You know, just so every day people would know who's in charge in our house. You know, children are supposed to be obeying their parents, right? But the other side of things, well, and for all of us who are younger, not so excited, right? The idea of hearing the children obey your parents, yeah, not exactly the best. You brought us here today. I want to go downstairs to Sunday school. You know, like, we have fun down there. We talk about God is love and have and get to draw and eat and everything else. And now you're going to bring it up here and say, "Gotta obey my parents." Oh no, what's going on with all this? Well, it's very interesting, the command that God gives us, because not only does He give us a command, but He tells us why. I don't know, growing up, my parents would always tell me to do things, and then I would delay by saying, well, why? Why do we have to go there? Why do we have to go to church again? Why do I have to do this? And so sometimes, you know, at least with my parents, they had a very simple answer as to why. Then were your parents like this? They always said four words, because I said so, right? And that always seemed to work with us. I don't know. Today, parents don't seem to say that as much. They try to give the why with all of this. And guess what? God does us a favor here in this passage. When He says, children, obey your parents, He actually gives us the why. He says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the smart thing to do. This is the right thing to do. And when you do this, well, it makes all the difference. You know, I think there's probably two clear reasons why God would want us to be in families and why He puts us in families to, you know, what He wants to teach us. The number one is, I think God puts us in families because He wants us to learn to live under authority. In other words, there's going to be somebody in charge, and we're going to have to, you know, it's going to be our parents, and the way we learn to relate to them is going to have a lot to do with the success we have in our life. I mean, you stop and think about it, you know, how does people learn? How do ducks learn how to be ducks, right? Have you seen them? You know, they follow the mother duck. And whatever she does, that's what they do. And they learn how to do this. They live under the authority. They don't just kind of wander off. Well, if they do wander off, they don't usually last very long, right? So, because somebody comes and just snaps them up. And so God puts us in families because he wants us to learn to live under authority. He wants us to understand that we're not the boss. And that the more that we connect and understand and live under the authority of our parents, the more that, well, we learn that we need to live under the authority of God. Now, some of you might say, well, that's just great, okay. My parents get to boss me around and tell me what to do and kind of wreck my life and, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, have you met my parents? They're not exactly like God, I'll tell you that, right? But listen, God puts us in these situations so that we can learn how to be obedient. I mean, it's not just in our relationship with God, it's for all of life. I talked to some people this week and they were telling me about one of their high school classmates who evidently has the parents that everybody wants. Her parents let her do anything she wants to do. She has no restrictions. She can go out, come in, whatever time she wants. She got her own car. She can drive and go. You know, everything is perfect for her. But she's got a very strong attitude because she's kind of, you know, she's a little bit of a lawyer type. She's kind of argued her parents into silence. You know, her parents basically, every time they tried to say something to her, she would just give them the why and the why not and this and that and everything else. And then finally they're just like, okay, go ahead. You know, just like, we don't have the energy to do this anymore. And so now she's got free reign. And she can do whatever she wants to do and listen to whoever she wants. She makes her own decisions. They said last week, though, there was a little incident. She's on a sports team. And the coach said during one of the practices, we're going to do this drill. And it was kind of a hard drill, going to be very taxing on the legs and very tough. But he said, we're going to do this drill. And she said, I'm not going to do that. I really don't want to do that. And he said, well, you're going to do it. When I blow the whistle, you start with everybody else. And she says, no, you can't tell me to do that. I'm not going to do it. Now, I don't know what her status on the team is now, whether she's on the bench or whether she's in the locker room or whether she just turned in her uniform, I don't know. But you know what? When you get an attitude in your head that kind of begins to say, I don't have to listen to you, and you can't really tell me what to do, once that attitude comes in, it's going to be hard for you not only to be on a sports team, you're going to have a hard time getting a job, I think. Because everybody you work for is going to give you instructions, going to give you guidance and direction. They're going to say, you know, this isn't a suggestion. This is how you do it, okay? And if you don't learn how to take instruction and correction from people, you're never going to succeed. You really can't be successful with all of these things. And this and the idea that, you know, I won't listen to you and you can't tell me what to do, those are self-destructive attitudes. And if you let those things run wild in your head and you let them come out of your mouth, I'm telling you, you're going to have a very, very hard time. But I think the second reason God puts us in families, not just to learn to live under authority, he wants us to experience real love. And one of the things he says here, he quotes one of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. I mean, remember that's one of the Ten Commandments? I mean, God decided with murder and adultery and stealing and all these other things. Guess what? One of the most important things he said, one of the 10 most important things in life is to honor your father and your mother. He put it right there. And he says, hey, I'll even give you a promise so that if you honor your father and your mother, it will go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Well, not only will you live long, but you're going to live well. And what makes you live well? Well, I think it's love. I mean, yes, we'd all like to have more money, but money doesn't guarantee much happiness. Yes, we'd all like to, you know, have more property or have a bigger house or have more possessions or faster car, all these other things. I think we've discussed over the last month as we've talked about money and possessions, none of those things really give us the satisfaction that we're looking for. What wealthy people want, what poor people want, what young people want, what old people want, we all want love. We want to experience that love in our life. And so where do we learn it? Oh, we learn it in our family. God puts us in families to teach us what sacrificial love is really all about. Not just I'll get what I want and let everybody else kind of fend for themselves. No. He puts us in so that we can understand what it really means to love somebody, to give even when it doesn't come back to you. Did you hear about the little boy who, showed up at breakfast on his way to school and put a little, he put a tab or a bill down for his mom. Very interesting, right? He leaves it on the table there, and what does he say? For making my bed, pay me $2, okay? I'm doing my part here in the house. For putting the dishes in the dishwasher, that'll be $2 too. For brushing my teeth, that'll be $2. And flossing, which everybody hates to do, that's $4, okay? So just, this is for the week. You know, I'm going to be a good boy. I'm going to do all these things you tell me to do. Just pay me $10, okay? Yeah, it sounds pretty reasonable, right? Some of you are taking notes here. I can see the tabs are going to come out tomorrow. So anyway, the next morning at breakfast, he comes down. There's a $10 bill on the table. Wow, this is good. But there's also a little bill from his mother. And it says this: for fixing your breakfast and packing your lunch, no charge. For washing and drying and folding your clothes, no charge. For driving you to school and to all of the activities, no charge. For buying you clothes and coats and shoes, no charge. Total, $0. This has all been paid for by someone who loves you. Oh yes, isn't that sweet, right? But isn't that what really happens? Isn't that really what goes on? All of us are a little older, you know, we're thinking like, oh yeah, we're taking care of our kids. Who took care of us? I mean, who drove us? Who took us to the store and I mean, how many of us, we've been given so much, haven't we? I mean, this is what parents do. This is what families do. This is where we learn how to really love each other and to sacrifice for each other and to give our best. Not for what we can get back, but to give our best so that other people can really have a full and a happy life. So God puts us in families so we can practice this and share it with each other. Now you can say, well, gee, this is a good idea, Jack, but you haven't met my family, okay? Maybe there are some people here in the church who have wonderful families like this. They could actually do that, but my family's a little like, ooh, boy, you know, we're kind of way off the charts, right? And so we have all these different families and different types of families, and you kind of look at them and kind of say, my family's the exception to all this. Well, here's the truth. The truth is your family's flawed. Your family's messed up. Your parents aren't perfect by any means. You could give me a list, right, of all the things to tell me. And yet in the midst of all this, in the midst of living in a flawed, imperfect family, guess what? God has put you there because you still can learn from these people. You might say, well, I didn't pick my parents. In fact, if I'd been able to pick them, I would have picked a lot different people than the ones that are living in my house. In fact, I had a young man one time who told me, we read this thing about children obey your parents, and he goes, oh, I got no problem with that. And I'm like, look, I know what you're doing, and I've seen you curse your dad out. You lie to him and all these other things. How can this be? He says, those aren't really my parents. I said, they're not your parents? He says, no, I'm pretty much convinced I was switched at birth, you know. I'm sure that in the hospital, you know, the nurse gave me to the wrong set of parents, and the wrong people took me home. Because these people I live with, there's no way they could be my parents. I mean, I'm such a nice guy. You should hear how nasty they are with all these things, right? And I thought, well, that's a good way to think about things, right? I mean, half kidding, but, he kind of figured this whole thing out. And you might look at your parents and say, I don't get it. How could God be using them? Well, guess what? God has made you. He's taken these two flawed people, your mother and your father, and they have produced, well, a beautiful but flawed child. You know, you're just as imperfect as they are. They didn't pick you either. They've been very surprised about how you're turning out. But guess what? You know, we're all in this together. And the truth is that God looks at our whole family. He looks at each one of us. Parents, grandparents, children, we're all flawed. But we're loved by God. And He wants us to love each other the way that He loves us. That we're not mistakes. As people, we're not mistakes to be in the families that we're in. That God has used this to kind of give us this life. And your life, who you are, you're unique and different from anybody else who's ever lived on the planet. You stand apart from all of them. So this is really the big message of the morning. I mean, God says to you, honor your father and your mother. These imperfect people. These people that, you know, aren't consistent and make a lot of mistakes. Honor them. If you honor them, things will go well with you. And your life will be better if you do that. And here's something for you to tweet, okay? If you want to post something on Facebook or tweet this out, here's what I'd say. How you treat your parents will affect your future. Would you say that with me? The way you treat your parents will affect your future. Do you believe that? Let's stop and pray for a minute. God, you've just kind of unloaded on us this morning. This is a pretty powerful commandment, making us, some of us, feel uncomfortable. And we're kind of wondering, is this, you know, the right thing? But God, your word is true and it's helpful. It guides us. It leads us to good living. It leads us to life. And so we ask that you'll help us to understand it this morning. I pray that as I continue to kind of open this up, let it speak into our own hearts. Help us to know how we can love our families, love each other the way that you want us to love, the way you love. And so we pray this in your name. Amen. So let's take the next few moments and let's just talk about three ways that we really can reach out, and the three stages in our life where we can kind of really help each other with all of this. The first stage is, you know, what about the kids who are like 0 to 6 or 0 to 12? And, you know, how does this apply to them? Well, guess what? God wants us he wants the children to learn how to love their parents. He wants them to really learn to obey their parents and to do what their parents want them to do. Because, you know, well, when you're born, you're very, very cute and everybody wants to hold you. When you get to be about a year and a half, you get a little squirmy and it's fun to hold you for a little while. But about age 2, you come up with 2 very favorite words. And the first word is no, and the second word is mine. And you use them quite often, okay? And you pretty much let everybody around you kind of know that you're in charge. You're the center of attention. And your parents have a huge job in front of them, because if they let you grow up and become an adult that basically says no and mine all the time, you're in big trouble. And so they are about the business of trying to teach you, you know, how to cooperate, how to get along, and how not to let, you know, not to let your bad behavior kind of control everything. I found a great video on YouTube, and I almost brought it to show it to you today. It would actually kill you. It's about a minute and 30 seconds of a little boy crying and whining because his mommy won't let him do what he wants to do. And it is just like ear-piercing. And it just goes on and on. You're thinking, I don't know if I'd want to be the parents in that house. But you know, the truth is, you and I, we've been in houses like that, right? We acted like that. We can look at that kid and say, oh, wow, look at that. That kid, he's really awful. But we've done that. You know, and our parents helped to train us to understand that just because we throw a tantrum or do some, you know, manipulation thing, some behavior thing, that our parents have taught us it's not going to work. I was talking to my wife, Becky, this week, and we were recounting some of the classic stories in our family. She was at Pathmark one time with our 2 boys. One boy was in the shopping cart. The other boy was walking, trailing along, riding on the edge of the shopping cart, you know. They'd filled the whole shopping cart just loaded with food that these boys are going to devour. And, of course, I'm miles and miles away. They get up to the checkout counter. You know what happens there, right? The candy is on both sides. The boys decide, we want candy. Becky's like, look, I'm on a budget. This is the most expensive stuff in the store right here. We've got plenty of good stuff in the cart. When we get home, we'll get something to eat. And they're like, no, we want it now. And so one boy starts grabbing it out of the thing, and she's like trying to get it away. The other boy's like going crazy with all that. Finally, when she says, no, we're not going to do this, he just lays down on the floor and starts screaming. You know how to really manipulate your mother, right? You know, she doesn't want to make a scene. Everybody's lined up with this whole thing. You know, she can pick the boy up and say, okay, here's your candy bar, right? That will stop the screaming. That will take care of everything. But it's going to prolong the problem, right? Because he's going to learn that, you know, all you have to do is just behave badly and then you can get whatever you want. I know none of you have ever had this happen, I'm sure. This is probably only our family that has had something like this go on. But she's a courageous woman. I've learned, don't mess with Becky, right? She just said to the boys, okay, just lifted the boy out of the one shopping cart, grabbed the other boy, lifted him up, and says, we're going home. The whole cart of her, she says, I apologize to Pathmark. I'm sorry to leave it here, but I cannot tolerate this behavior. She marched those boys out to the car. No snacks, no nothing, drives them home. She's sending a pretty strong message, right? She's letting them know that this is not the way to get through life. And most of us have had to learn that at some point. It's painful, it's frustrating, but we've learned it and we're trying to teach it to our children. And, at some point, I think by age 5 and 6, our kids begin to get it. Hey, if I act good, if I cooperate, if I'm pleasant to be around, my parents will give me more. What does obedience look like? Well, there's three words that really kind of tell you what obedience is. One is, it's willingly, because it's really our choice if we're going to cooperate, go along with it, that kind of thing. I mean, one of the things that you discover even, as a very, very young person, you have a choice, you have a will, you get to decide what you're going to do. I'm either going to cause trouble or I'm going to cooperate. I'm either going to, you know how that works. So obedience means that we willingly do it. We decide, yes, I'm going to make this, I'm going to participate, I'm going to pick up my toys, I'm going to help put the dishes away, I'm going to make this right. And then we can decide to do it cheerfully, because you can put the dishes away kind of, you can do it with a real grump, and you can kind of letting everybody know how unhappy you are. Adults are good at this too, okay? Kids don't think that you're the only ones that know how to do this, right? And then you can do it immediately. Instead of saying, well, I'll get to that later on, and then making your parents just constantly nag you about, have you done this yet? Have you done this? Just willingly, cheerfully, immediately. And what a difference that makes with all of that. And through this, we learn these important lessons. We learn the basic skills of life that protect us, help us to interact with people. In fact, if we don't learn them, we really have very few friends later on in life. Because we learn how to get along with people. Our parents come along, they clean up our messes, they clean up our mistakes, and they're with us and they help us. I mean, look at these two verses from Proverbs. Proverbs 19, verse 20. One of the things, when it says here, let's put that up on the screen if we can. It says, listen, correct your child, and he will give you peace of mind. And he will delight your soul. So parents are called to correct our boys and our girls, and to give that guidance. And then let's look at Proverbs 29:17. In fact, the whole book of Proverbs is really about growing up right and learning what's wise. Listen to advice, accept instruction, and in the end, you'll be wise. So God wants you, he's put these parents in your life to give you instruction and guidance because it's going to benefit you. You're going to get the reward out of all this. So our parents love us and they have a great time with us. And, for many of you, I look at your families and I know that you're enjoying life. Your parents are taking good care of you and you're delighting your parents. I can tell by the smiles on their faces. It's wonderful to be alive. It's wonderful to be in your family, and you're having so much fun. How many parents here are having fun with their kids? Say, yes, I love to be with my kids. I get lonely and upset when they're not around, right? We do love them with all that. Well, here's the second thing that I would tell you. Second stage in life, and this may surprise you, because I think honor your father and your mother also applies to our elderly parents. How many of you have parents that are still living? Okay. A lot of us, right? You've kind of thought, well, I'm over that stage. I've grown up to be an adult. But I don't think there's any time or age limit on what the commandment says. It's honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say up until the time that you're 20 or up until the time you leave the house. No, it says honor your father and your mother. And I think our elderly parents need to be remembered. Proverbs 23, verse 22 says this, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, sometimes we carry things into our adulthood, disappointments and And maybe grudges and sometimes bad feelings that we've had, and sometimes we carry them in with our mothers and our fathers. And I would say even now, you know, listen, honor your father and your mother. How can you do that? Well, number one is I would remember all their effort, all their commitment, all the good years and the bad years that they went through. Somebody said, you know, when you chop down a tree and you look at the rings of the tree that go around, you can tell the different rings, that the fat rings, you know, the thicker rings are when the weather was good and the rain was good and the tree really grew, and then the thin rings are when things were really bad. It didn't rain much, there wasn't much nourishment for the tree, and the tree just barely survived. And for a lot of us growing up, some of our parents went through a lot of thin rings. They went through a lot of times when there wasn't much, and they sacrificed everything they had for us. And maybe we need to go back and to remember the commitment that they had and thank them for never giving up. Thank them for all the sacrifices that they made for us to be there. Maybe that's something that you ought to do this week. Just think about going to your parents, writing to them, calling them, going to see them, and maybe just telling them that you appreciate their sacrifice. You know, Pastor Leslie last week said it costs over $250,000 to raise a child. Well, think of the money what your parents could have done with that money if they decided not to really take care of you. Think of all the things they could have done, how they could have enjoyed that money, but they chose to sacrifice. They made unselfish decisions. They spent all of that money on you. And then let's just respect our parents for what they've done, to our families, how they've helped us to work together, how they've, appreciated what's done. I was on the receiving end of this a few months ago. My son in Denver had gotten married, and they just bought a new house, and they invited us to come out and stay at the house. And on the way, he had said to my wife, just take Dad's old baseball glove and slip it into the suitcase. Don't let him know. We get to Denver. We look at their beautiful house. They've got a wonderful backyard. I mean, just enormous, okay? I had my Fitbit on when I mowed the backyard for him, good father that I am. I did 2.9 miles just driving the mower back and forth, okay? But you know, at some point there later in the week, my son came out and he handed me my baseball glove. Had the ball inside it, and he had his glove. He says, come on, Dad, let's go have a game of catch. You know, we had done that when he was growing up, at the bus stop, in the backyard, at all the little league games, all these other things. You kind of wonder sometimes, do your kids really appreciate all that you put in? He said, when I bought this house, I looked at this backyard and I thought, I want to have a game of catch with my dad someday. So we stood out in the backyard. Becky took a video of it. I don't have the arm I used to have, okay? I was more slinging the ball rather than throwing the ball. And she was kind of wondering, you guys better get closer together. I don't think Dad can. But you know what? The message was so powerful that day that my son at 38 years old was saying, I remember all those times, you know, 30 years ago, when we just took time to be together with that. And your parents did something like that with you as well. Something different, something along the way. And maybe one of the ways that we can honor our father and mother is to just respect them and to thank them and be part of all that. That make sense? Last thing we need to talk about today is about this other dangerous period in our life. It's the time, well, for many kids, it's between 12 and 20, 12 and 22. Someplace in there, you know, there's this time of adjustment and change. From becoming a child, not only does your body become an adult body, but your mind and everything else, everything kind of changes in this period. And I hesitate to bring it up because it's just such a rough time for so many people. It's a hard time for the teenagers who are going through all of this, and it's a hard time for their parents. Sometimes you might say, well, why doesn't the Bible say more about, you know, this whole thing about teenagers and their parents? The truth of the matter is, in Bible times, this never really was an issue. Because by the time you were 13 or 14, you were really considered an adult. You had already either started a job or you were an apprentice someplace, and you were working. You didn't sit around and have free time. to kind of do whatever you wanted to do. 13 or 14, girls were starting to get married, you know. I mean, it was a whole different culture in all of this. And so you didn't have the time to kind of think, well, what am I going to do with my life, and how am I going to enjoy my adult stand-up, go get them kind of body, because you had responsibilities. Now we're in a situation where, you know what the situation is. You know, that we have people who are grown and old enough to think and to decide and to do these things. And so what happens? Well, in a lot of situations, our homes become battlegrounds. And things, there's less communication, there's less positive things going on, that we're not as eager to be with each other as we used to be. We're not as discerning about what the dangers are. There's a lot more experimentation going on. One of my friends says, it's like once kids hit puberty, it's like they go back to 2 years old. The things that we told them don't ever put in your mouth, they're putting them in their mouth again. And the things that we told them not to touch, well, they're all touching it. It's like they're having to go back and kind of say, with my new adult mind and my new adult body, let me just see how this really works. And if my parents really told me the truth about what this is really all about. And unfortunately, there's more arguments. There's more unkind words that get said. There's more broken trust. Sometimes there's less truth, more lies. You know, there's all kinds of things going on, less cooperation, more questions, more struggle, more pushback. You know what I'm talking about, right? And here we are. God puts us in a family, and we got to go through this. How are we going to get through this? And what does God want to say to us about all these things? And there's really, to be honest, there's some dangerous thinking out there. I mean, the way people think. I mean, look at these three thoughts. These are the ways that come up. The lies that kind of come into us from our culture, from people around us. And if we're not careful, as young people, we start saying, well, I know how, I'm smarter than my parents. I know better how to live and how to run my life than my parents. My parents are very old-fashioned. They're very stuck in their ways, and they don't really understand this. And right now, I'm 15. This is my time to really have fun, kind of really enjoy my life. I later on, I'll be like my dad. I have to go to work all the time. Why I can use the time from 15 to 25 to kind of enjoy life and kind of, guess what? I believe all the advertisers. It is about me, okay? I should have these things and make all this happen. Now, I'm not picking on anybody here. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, these kind of thoughts kind of run through our whole system. And everybody, every one of us, adults included, I mean, we get led off the track thinking the same things. And God, says, look, watch out. You need each other more and more. You need to remember who you are and where you've come from so that you can stay on the right track. I think what God wants us to do is just to remind ourselves. So I'm going to do a little reminding, okay? If you're here today and you're a parent of a teenager, would you just stand up? Could I ask you to stand up? Okay. Whew. Look at that. Could I talk to you just for a few minutes? Okay. Could I just tell you that this is a very key time in the life of your family, in the life of your teenager? They need you now more than ever, because they're going through changes. They're living in a world that's kind of exploding in front of them. There's all kinds of things that are happening around, and they're trying to sort it out and trying to figure all this out. They don't need you to be mad at them all the time. They don't need you to be bossy with them all the time. They need you to be firm. They need you to be consistent. They need you to love them. They need you to listen as much as you talk. Maybe they need you to listen even more than you talk. And that they want to hear from you about, what's really going on. And they would like to know that it's safe to talk to you about what's happening in their life and in their world. And would you do that for them? I mean, you are, in many ways, you've had more experiences than they have. You know the answers to a lot of the things they're asking, and some of the things that maybe they say seem very trivial to you, but to them, they're not trivial. They're big things to them. Just love them. Can you forgive them for the mistakes that they will make? because they're going to make some mistakes. Can you help them even when they've kind of dropped the ball and, you know, has cost you something? The same way that, you know, people have lifted you up and helped you. Am I saying this right? This isn't a time for you to resign or to distance yourself from your kids. This is a time when you need to come closer. Pastor Kevin yesterday had a seminar for parents and teenagers. And one of the things that he stressed with the parents, he says, try to really build in quality time with your teenager. Look for things you can do together. Not for you to take over, but things that they'd like to do and that they would feel comfortable. Spend time together in these months that are ahead, even from now to Christmas, from Christmas to Easter, from Easter to the summer. You know, be deliberate and say, we're going to do things together. I'm going to be part of all this and share in all that. If you weren't there yesterday, I think Ren recorded some of this and put some of this down. Get it from the church. Listen to it. Be reminded of it. And be thinking in your own life, how can I strengthen our family? Your role has changed a little bit. You know, you're not the mother who can pick them up and move them someplace. You can't grab them, take them out of the supermarket and put them in the car anymore, okay? But they still need you just as much to be there and to help them. Are you ready? Say, Jack, we're ready. Okay, that's good enough. All right, you can sit down. All right, so what do you think about that? Your parents, my goodness, right? So if you're here and you're a teenager, would you come and would you stand up? I'm not going to do anything crazy with you, don't worry. Just stand up. You're a teenager, I see. Yes, I see some teenagers. Yes, okay. Now do this. This is a little daring, but it's going to be worth it. Would you just come up here with me? I'm not going to ask you anything crazy. I just want to show you. I want you to meet somebody, okay? Just come up. I want you to meet somebody who's going to be here. Right in here. That's it. That's good. I have somebody I want you to meet. Thanks for coming. Come closer, all right? Sam, can you just look outside? I think they're coming. Come in closer, a little tighter here. Tighter. It's nice to see all of you guys. Did you think I told your parents, was I strong enough with your parents? Did I tell them good things? Huh? So, here's what I'd like. I'd like you to meet Jasmine. Okay? She lives at my house. All right? Hi, Jazzy. Hello. How are you? How do you like coming to church? Huh? Yes, look at all my new friends here. Come on, come over here. You want to come touch? Come on, greet Jasmine. Come. Come on. Are you all shy? Are you allergic to dogs? Huh? Take a look. We love Jasmine. We've just had her since April. She's a year and a half old. And, you can see how she's just fun to be with, okay? But I got a problem. She loves the street. We live on like a side street off of a busy road, and people turn onto our road and they go zoom, and they're just driving like crazy down through that. And if I let her out in the front of the house, she goes right out to the road. I mean, we got a nice yard, but she goes right through the yard, right out to the road. And I don't know, something. She loves the double yellow line for some reason. She loves to stand right on the double yellow line. And she just stands there and just looks around like, oh, what's going on? Now, can you understand why I'd be upset about this? Well, why would I be upset? Yeah, she could get hit by a car. How many of you would like to see her get hit by a car? No. Nobody, right? Jazzy, nobody wants you to get hit, okay? So, listen. You got to listen to me. She just wants to go right there. How am I going to keep her safe? Should I just keep her in the house all the time? Wouldn't I just lock her up? She can't be an outside dog? Or if I just keep her chained up all the time, wouldn't that be a good life? And what should I do? Who's going to help me here? Come on, what should I do? How am I gonna let Jazzy have a good life and not get killed? Somebody help. The service is going to be over when you guys help me, okay? Train her, right? And how would I train her? Yeah, like one step at a time, right? I mean, we could start right here. No. Listen, you know, your mom and dad, you see where I'm going with all this? You live in a dangerous world, not only cars. See, people hand you things and say, hey, try this, put this in your mouth, drink some of this, go here, hang out with us. And your mom and dad are looking at it like it's the double yellow line, and they're kind of wondering, what in the world are you doing out there, standing out there? Are you expecting that you're going to be okay? I mean, it's really. And so they're so concerned about what's going on with you, and they're saying, come back, come back. And sometimes they feel like they just want to lock you up in the house or put a chain on you. You know, but that's not the answer. You've got to grow. And so they really want to work together with you to kind of figure it out, you know. Not to make you into robots, but they want to figure it out so that you're talking to them and saying, well, I saw this, and this is what happened, and this is what these people said, and this is what I think about this, and I'm not so sure about that. You know, talk to them about what's going on in your world and what's out there. And know that if they say to you, well, I don't want you to do this, it's only because, well, it's like me and Jasmine, they don't want you to get hurt. But also challenge them and say, but you know, I do have to step out. I have to be in this situation. How am I going to do this? How am I going to make this happen? You getting it? Okay. I mean, your mom and dad, you guys have to work together with them to kind of figure out how to live your life and be safe. How to make good choices. And I believe you can do it. Any questions? Jasmine, let's all stay, you know, let's stay alive, you and me. Yes, I know you're looking at everybody. And we want you guys to grow and be strong and be all that God wants you to be. Amen? Thanks for coming up here. All right. Great. And all God's people said,